Jason Thomas, he's managing director, also the head of global research at Carlyle. Jason, before we get into the macro, and I know Kathleen wants to talk a lot about the Fed and what's happening with the labor market in front of this employment data that we're getting tomorrow morning, I want your perspective on what you see playing out in the U.S. House of Representatives, since at one time you did serve on a White House staff. Talk to me about the risk of the political gamesmanship that may be playing out in the House and the potential effect it could have on markets when you think of things like, hey, can we raise the debt ceiling?
Well, thank you very much for having me. I will say at the outset that it's much better to be observing this from 7,000 miles away than back in my home in Washington. But yes, it's an unfortunate situation. And certainly it does raise questions about the debt ceiling and other must-pass legislation going forward. And I think that the main risk is if there is an agreement that so constrains the Speaker of the House that it actually makes passage of some of those, again, the debt ceiling in particular, more difficult. And, you know, we'll see. Really, it's not how long this takes to find a speaker. I think that the main question for market participants today is what sort of deals need to be cut to actually for Representative McCarthy to attain the speakership, and how do those deals impact the likelihood or difficulty of getting debt ceiling, other must-pass legislation across the finish line. That's what I think investors should be watching.
Jason, do you think ultimately that McCarthy will be able to cut deals with the most intransigent of the rebels, whatever you want to call them, because right now they are so saying, some of them, that will never vote for him, and that's just it. But of course, nobody's posing any viable candidates to run instead of him.
Well, that's the big question. And I think that what's worth considering is if there is an alternative candidate who would not be as encumbered as it appears that Representative McCarthy would be, which is to say, is there an alternative so that they wouldn't demand all of these, you know, the concessions, the seats on the Rules Committee, the other parts of the deal that we've seen reported in the press thus far.
So we've got the Fed trying to engineer a soft landing. We know the story on inflation. The labor market remains tight. That is evidenced by a lot of the numbers we were looking at today. December employment data due tomorrow. Given everything that we're talking about in or on Capitol Hill vis-a-vis the Fed, is the Fed's challenge these days much more difficult if you're talking just about kind of bringing inflation down and maintaining market stability?
Well, I think the Fed is in a place where they have a dual mandate, of course, and the employment mandate is perhaps above expectations, above target, so they can be solely focused on inflation. And I think that this is what surprised investors in 2022, because we've had an extended period, really 12 years, where disinflation allowed the Fed to really focus almost exclusively on employment, incomes, stabilizing markets. And now you have a very different regime where the Fed is instead solely focused on inflation. And so as a result, I do think that there are more rate hikes in store. I think, you know, 5.25%, 5.5% could be the peak Fed funds rate. And I do believe that it's going to be sustained at those levels really, you know, through the end of the year into 2024, as I think is more clear from the minutes. But it's also just, I think, the reality of inflation dynamics. The Fed today is very concerned about inflation getting stuck at 4% to 5%. And I think the only way to guard against that is to keep the target policy rate higher for longer.
And that's actually what they've been telling us. Markets just have a hard time getting it through their investor heads that because they've never lived through this before, I guess, or something. So if I'm an investor, what do I do? Where do I make money? Let's say the key rate stays up for well into 2024, as Esther George indicated today, almost not president of the Kansas City Fed anymore. What kind of stocks do I, you know, what kind of fixed income?
Well, first, I think that domestic investors in the U.S. do suffer from home bias. You know, in some cases, I think that they are driving with the rearview mirror. They see how strong U.S. market performance has been over the last several years. They see technology, growth stocks, those assets, and you know, expect a rebound. I think it's time to start allocating abroad, starting to focus especially on Asia, but also Europe. And then secondly, I think domestically in the U.S., you do see the rebalancing back into value. If you were to just slice U.S. assets and look at the top 10, top 20% of companies in regard to free cash flow relative to enterprise value, you see that those stocks were, actually relatively flat, in some cases up modestly in 2022. And I think that they're still going to outperform. They have a better profile relative to this higher level of interest rates.
So, as an American expat living in Singapore and working there, I know China is a long way from the Lion City, but give me your view on what you see unfolding on the mainland vis-a-vis COVID and the pivot away from COVID zero. And give me your outlook, maybe the house view from Carlisle on the China reopening.
Well, I would say, first of all, that the only policy that has garnered more criticism than zero COVID, of course, has been China's decision to suddenly abandon it. And so, I think that this was really a no-win situation, but it feels to me as though the reopening is the first step in a larger policy program of reigniting growth in China and reinstilling confidence in the economy. And so, if you look at the data in December, they were dreadful, of course, both from a public health but also economic perspective, really a collapse in foot traffic, collapse in business volumes. And so on a cumulative basis, it looks as though the Chinese economy is probably about 7% below where one might have expected it to be in terms of total output relative to 2 years ago. So I think that there's quite a lot of makeup growth ahead. And if you have not only reopening but additional policy support that we've seen, liquidity additions for the general economy, also support for property, it wouldn't be terribly surprising to see China growing at a 10 or 12% annualized rate in the middle of this year,
Wow.
for a brief period. That's not going to be sustained. But again, it's important to appreciate the amount of catch-up growth that could be ahead in 2023 into 2024. So,
Bullish outlook, no doubt about it, from Jason Thomas at Carlisle here on DBA. Thanks so much.